Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. While you're making your way over there, I want to say a special word to our visitors today. If this is your first time here, we welcome you. If you've been coming for a while but still kind of feeling us out and just to consider yourself still a visitor, we're glad that you're here as well. There is a blue card in the seat in front of you. Would love to invite you. We'd love to know that you were here. Promise you, we won't harass you or anything like that, but we would like to know that you were here. If you don't mind us knowing that you were here, please fill that out and let us know. There's a box that you can check on there if you would like to be on our email list where we talk about things that are coming up. I know a week from Wednesday we have our fall festival, and adults, if you're not a fuddy-duddy, come dressed up. I'll know the fuddy-duddies when they walk in the door. I mean, you'll stand out, okay? All right? I've got wigs and hats and all kinds of things that I'll loan you if you want to do that. But I know Carlene still needs workers for that. She still needs candy for that. So we want our kids to just be blessed. And so come and be a part of that. But if you are a visitor, we invite you to fill that out, and you can just leave it there in the chair where you sit, and we will find that. So Ephesians chapter 2. Now Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is attributed to Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to the church that he's established in Ephesus. And if we pick it up in verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved." I want to say that again. Are you listening? It is by grace you've been saved. Through faith. This is not from yourselves. How come so many Christians think that we're supposed to earn our way to heaven? So many churches, we go to church and we think that we got to be good. But no, Paul is saying it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It's a gift. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Because see, if we could earn our way to heaven, then who would get the glory for that? Us. But no, it's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Another translation says masterpiece there. I kind of like masterpiece. You may like workmanship. But we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you here. You are welcome. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm, along with several from our church, are participating in a walk to Emmaus this weekend. I actually came in last night from that event about midnight or so, and so if I start kind of fading, Ed, would you come give me mouth to mouth if I pass out? Never mind. I'll pick somebody else. Maybe my wife, maybe. But I'm a little tired, a little fatigued from the weekend. But God is moving. God is doing great things in us out there. At Luther's Camp, about 40 miles north of town. And one of the things about a walk to Emmaus, each walk, the person who's leading the walk, they call that a lay director, and they have a special cross that they make for this walk. And Cheryl was a lay director a few years ago, and she asked me to make her cross. And I was really blessed by her asking me to do that. I work a little bit with wood, and I also work a little bit with stained glass. Well, she couldn't decide which one that she wanted, a wooden cross or a stained glass cross, so she said, "Could you do both?" And I was like, "Well, thanks for, making it easy." I remember as I was making that cross for her, first of all, let me show you the slide. Here's how the cross, here was the beginning stages. I built it really fast. Now go back one. All right, I skipped a slide on you, Carlton. Don't blame the guy back there. I messed him up. But It started on my workbench with just raw materials. I've got just pieces of glass there and a grinder and cutters and soldering irons and all sorts of things that I was going to be using in that process. And I remember as I began to just map out this vision, the whole time I was creating this cross, listen to me, the whole time I was creating this cross, I had Cheryl on my mind. I had the love that I have for my wife on my mind. And so as I cut, and you know, when you work with stained glass, if any of you do that, you know, you cut yourself and you end up, you know, kind of bleeding. And nowadays they've learned that the lead that you use to wrap around, you know, that's toxic. You know, that's great. I'm loving that. But, you know, so it takes some effort and some energy to do this. But what drove me, what motivated me was this love that I had for the person I was creating this cross for. And then you can go ahead and flip to that next slide, and that's the finished product. And I really love what God gave me about that glass. You can't really tell it probably too well, but there's five pieces of red glass. You see, and can you see where they are? I don't know. You see why the significance of the red glass? There's one for the thorn upon his brow. There's two for the hands. There's one for the feet, and there's one for his pierced side. And all the rest of the glass is a different color. And as I was creating and as I was forming that cross, I had a vision of what the cross was look like. But what I really was thinking about was the love I had for my wife. That's the way it is with God with us. We are his masterpiece. And so today, and then, sorry, I'm flipping around on you again, Carlton, I'm sorry. Today's sermon is called God's Masterpiece. God's Masterpiece. Let's see if I fold into, there we go. So I want us to kind of, so dig a little bit deeper. And I guess as we were worshiping this morning, the thing that was coming to my heart, and I've seen it on this walk this weekend that I'm working, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't feel like masterpieces. They feel like damaged goods. Something has happened to them, something that they've done to themselves, self-inflicted wounds, all sorts of things that we carry around. And a lot of the men that are out there this weekend, maybe we didn't see it when they came out, but they came out there burdened. They came out there dragging this heaviness with them. Certainly they did not feel like God's masterpiece, God's workmanship. Well, I just want you to know that God, he doesn't love us because we're beautiful. He loves us because we're his. Not what we've done for him, not because we're good. It says, why we were yet sinners, what Scripture tells us. Why we were yet sinners. In other words, in our brokenness, in our undoneness, as we come to God, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't die for us because we were good and because we deserved it. He died for us because he loved us and because we are his masterpiece, his workmanship. So I want us to just kind of dig a little bit deeper into this Scripture today and talk about that fact that we are God's masterpiece. And first thing is, God created you as one of a kind. And in verse 10 there, it says, you are God's masterpiece. It says that in Genesis, and I'll just kind of, these scriptures are in your handout, so I'm going to just hit them briefly. But the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. And then we see in chapter 2, verse 22, the Lord God made a woman from the rib that taken out of the man. And then in Psalms, we see that we are knit together in our mother's womb, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you feel fearfully and wonderfully made this morning? You should. But that's what Scripture tells us. That's how God feels about us. He feels about us in this way. You know, I remember Tried to tell my girls this when they were growing up from time to time. I don't know if they remember it, but I tried to say it. Did you know Daddy loves you? When they were little girls? And they'd say, yeah, I know Daddy, you love me. And I said, "What? Do you know why Daddy loves you? You know, because I'm good, or because I did help Mommy or clean my room. No, I love you because you're Kirby and you're Jordan. I love you because you're mine. You're my girls." It wasn't because they were good. He created us and knit us together in our mother's womb, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're one of a kind. I will say, and it may not be the greatest in the world, but there's not another cross like that one I made, Cheryl. I created that one of a kind. There won't ever be another one created by my hand. And if someone else were to try to do it, it's going to be a little bit different. I tell people that your story, where Christ has taken you from and the journey that you've been on, makes you uniquely have unique purpose. Our community group that we have, we've been sharing our faith stories, and it's just been awesome to hear the journey that Christ has taken each one of us on, and how certain did you know that the journey that you've been on uniquely qualifies you to bless others in a way that perhaps I can't. Wherever your journey has taken you, it hasn't been the journey I've been on. My journey's been another journey. And so you may be able to reach someone that can relate to what you've been through, things you have done that I could never reach. You are created as one of a kind. Second thing, God created you with purpose. With purpose. Too many times as Christians, we think our purpose is to get saved. We think, well, I got Jesus now, man, I'm good to go. And we set the cruise control, and we drive down the highway of life. We think, I got Jesus, I'm good. You think that's why God created you, so that you could receive His grace and that's it? You think that's the end of the story? No, that's the starting gate. That's not the finish line. That's the starting gate. God created you with purpose. Verse 10 says, you are God's masterpiece. Listen to this. Created in Christ Jesus for what? To do good works. He's created you with purpose. God has prepared them in advance for us to do. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And when we're not fulfilling that, we're not walking in obedience to Christ. You may be saved. You may have the Lord in your life, and you may someday, you know, get to go to heaven and all that kind of stuff. But no, there's more. God's created you with purpose. Psalms 139 says, all the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God has purpose for us. And the third thing today, as we look at this scripture, your purpose. Here, are you ready? You want to know what the meaning of life is? Are you ready? Here it comes. It's not my meaning of life. This is what scripture tells us. Your purpose is to bring God glory. That's it. The way we speak, the way we treat people. I was talking with someone today who was telling me a story about someone in their family that they were, just the way they were treating people, the way they were talking to other people, someone came and said, what's up with you? Something's different about you. What is it? What is it that's... And I don't know that this is how they responded, but I knew immediately, Jesus. That's what's different about that person, Jesus. Our life is to bring glory to God. The way we conduct ourselves. Isaiah 49 says, God formed me in the womb to be His servant, to bring glory to God. Isaiah 43, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created, here we go, whom I created for my glory. I Isaiah 43:20 says, I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, to my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may bring, that they may proclaim my praise. God has created you. You are His masterpiece, and you have been created with a purpose, and that purpose is to bring glory to God. So I want to stop here for just a second and say, how are we doing with that? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer out loud. How are we doing with that? How's that bringing? Maybe we're doing awesome. I mean, I want you to wrestle with that for a minute. God, how about we personally? God, how am I doing with that? Am I bringing you glory with the jokes that I tell? Am I bringing you glory with the sites that I search on the internet? Am I bringing you glory the way I treat my spouse? Now, I won't use their name because I don't have their permission, but someone in the last week, they don't know who I'm talking about. Their spouse lost a parent recently. And I went to see them, and this husband, I was just set back in amazement, and I was just like, wow, this husband was just there for his wife. Was tender and compassionate and loving and supportive. I mean, you know, little things like, can I get you another tissue? Just rubbing their hand. Just the compassion that a husband has for a wife in the moment of grief. Bringing God glory. We may not think about it like that. That brings God glory. When people see someone treating someone else like that. So how are we treating our spouse? How are we treating our children? How are we treating... This is a tough one. How are we treating our enemies? It's easy to love those that love us back, isn't it? That's easy. But Jesus said, no... You got to love your enemies. And that doesn't mean you have to hang out with them, pal around with them, have supper with them. But he does say pray for them. Talked to a man here recently. His wife had multiple affairs and was just a mess and left him and was just all kinds of stuff. And he talked about how it took him a while to get there. At first, it was just venom in his heart for this wife, ex-wife, and he said he came to this place where he knew that he had to start praying for her and the man that she had left him for. Now that's serious stuff. That's serious stuff. But that brings God glory. And it also frees our heart. Because, see, bitterness and unforgiveness takes root in our heart, and it's not good. Our heart can turn dark when we let that stuff cultivate in there. So how are we treating people at work? And how are we treating people that cut us off in traffic? Uh-oh. Fourth thing. So God's created us uniquely as His masterpiece. He's created us with purpose, and that purpose is to bring glory to God. And He matures us through trials. We don't really like trials, do we? Because generally with trials is pain. That may be the Holy Spirit getting into our sound system there. God matures us through trials. Now, again, I'll go back to our community group that we've been having, and I'm not going to, because we have confidentiality in that group, I won't share anything specific. But every faith story that we've heard, there's a piece in there that God has used difficulties, trials in our lives to mature us, to bring us closer to Him. James says it this way in chapter 1 of James. He says, consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kind. What? Consider it joy? What are you talking about? And he goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith, that's what trials are, is a testing of your faith. Because anybody can trust God through the good and simple and smooth waters, can't we? That's easy. But whenever the waters become choppy, suddenly faith has to kick in. So testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, so the trials in our lives mature us when we press into God. And I'm telling you, I heard so many of them this weekend, so many times, situations and circumstances where the trials of life has matured God's people. And it goes on to say in Ephesians that he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. There it is again, so that God has a purpose for us, that the body of Christ may be built up, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, so that it will no longer be infants tossed back and forth like waves, that we would grow up into Christ. Now, I just want to say again that you are God's masterpiece. You are precious to Him. I don't care what, it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. God has spoken. And He has said, you are my child. I love you. I've died for you. This past week, and I was not there. I tried to get people who heard this to tell the story, but I have to tell it myself because people didn't want to tell the story, but they told it to me. Little Taylor Wood. Were Corey and Naomi in here? Are they in? There they are. Little Taylor Wood, and she's 6 years old, and if you hadn't met Taylor, you've missed a treat. She's a trip. And there was, as the ladies were preparing the treasures, I wouldn't have given, $6 for the whole room, but that's just me. We made $7,000. I wouldn't have given $6, man. But anyway, and some of those treasures were mine, by the way. Anyway, so Taylor is up here helping Mom go through the garage sale items, getting prepared with all the other people that are helping. And she comes across this little makeup box. And I think it was a Hannah Montana. Was it a Hannah Montana makeup box? And I think someone else in the church, I think the Montez's treasure was passed to the garage sale. And Taylor's looking at that. And what I saw, I just saw a piece of junk. I mean, no offense, Mr. and Mrs. Montez back there, but that's what I saw. I saw a hunk of junk that, just going to find a place to put it. But Taylor opened it up, and she saw something priceless. And she was spraying the spray on, and she was putting the lipstick on, which kind of was freaking Mom out until she found out whose it had been. But it was all good after she found out whose it had been. But she's putting on all this stuff, and she's just looking in this box, and she's just so excited about it. And she said, who would ever want to get rid of this? That's the way God feels about us. While the world may see junk, God said, who would ever want to get rid of this? I want so much for you to understand that about how God feels about you. You're not junk. You are His masterpiece. You are 1 in 7 billion. And He had you on His mind
when he hung on the cross. He made you. He imagined you before you were born, and he created you. He formed you. He shaped you. He knit you together. He breathed life into you. He ordained all your days to bring him glory. And all because he loves you. Who would ever want to get rid of this? That's how he feels about you. If you would bow your head with me. Father, I know that there's people here today who've never really accepted themselves. There's part of their lives that maybe the way they look or the way they act, their background or their past or whatever, that they don't like. They have rejected themselves, and perhaps even society may have even rejected them. But Father, you haven't rejected them. I pray that if that's us this morning, that you would heal us. If that's you this morning, just in your own heart, just pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I'm sorry that I haven't accepted myself. And in reality, I realize that means I've also rejected your creation, your masterpiece. I ask your forgiveness. I believe that you've made me with a purpose, and that I am priceless. Why would anyone want to get rid of this? Thank you, Lord, for loving me, creating me, and making me an original that's worthy and worthwhile and lovable. I accept how you made me, Lord, and I receive your love. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ and trusted him for your salvation, I pray that just pray this prayer in your heart. Jesus, I'm accepting you into my life. I'm accepting your love. I want to follow you and your purposes. I'm accepting your forgiveness. I repent of my sins. Teach me how to love you. Show me how to serve you better. Show me how to bring glory to your name. Father, when you think of me, I want to bring a smile to your face. Mature me, Lord. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we stand this morning, stand if you are God's masterpiece. The altar is open as we close. I'll be up front if you'd like to visit with me.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh,
I think it was last week I said that someday we're going to do 3,000 out here in the tank. Was it last week? We're not doing 3,000 baptisms today, but we're doing 4. That's we're getting there. So, is there anybody behind the curtain here? Y'all come on, y'all come out. Elizabeth, Winston, Trey, and Starla, come to be baptized. I want to tell you that we talked this past week about this moment, that they were talking about the difference that Christ makes in a family. It's night and day, the difference that Christ makes in a family. So they come as a family today to be baptized. And so we've talked about, so I'm going to address this question to all 4 of y'all. And remember, I want you guys to say the answers with your voice, okay? The first thing, we talked about that word sin, that we're doing things that doesn't please God, that's even in our heart, things that we even think about. And so the first thing, do you all admit that you're a sinner?
Yes.
Amen. And do you repent of that sin? Do you ask God to forgive you of that sin? Amen. And do you want to be accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. If you guys will make your way around, I'm going to come around and join you. We should have ordered a longer baptistry. Come on in, Winston. We're going to give it a try, buddy. I might have to fold you in half a couple of times. All right. We've already answered the questions of the faith. If you'll sit right there, Winston, I want to baptize you. If you want to kind of hold your nose, keep from getting water up your nose. Winston, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We'll pray for all of y'all at the end. All right. If it held him, it'll hold the rest of you, I'm pretty sure. All right. And this is Elizabeth. Don't go down. Not yet. Elizabeth, I baptize you. You want to hold your nose? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Who we got next? Trey or Starla? Trey, don't slip, man. You got it? All right. If you'll turn around and sit, hold your nose. Trey, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, big guy. There's going to be good things happening in this family, I can tell you. Starla, you ready? Okay, if you'll hold your nose. Starla, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. All right, y'all come back around here. We're going to pray. All y'all come back around here. Grab your towel. What do you think, kids? Pretty cool, huh? Y'all come on up here, and I'm going to pray for all of y'all. One of the things that Scripture tells us that when we accept Christ in our heart and we're baptized, that He invites His Holy Spirit. We've invited His Holy Spirit, and He comes and dwells inside of us. And so I'm going to pray. You're not going to be able to reach Him, but if anybody wants to come up here in support of Unison for this family, come on up. Grandma's going to do some picture taking. All right, let's y'all kind of bunch up in here. And y'all can just slide on up here. Just kind of just reach a hand towards them. That'll do it. Lord, your word says that the angels in heaven celebrate when someone comes in repentance to you. And boy, I know there's a celebration in heaven right now. I pray that you would fill each of these your children and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. And we thank you that you have not abandoned us and you have sent your Holy Spirit. May you bless this family. May they be about your business. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are dismissed. Go and tell someone.
No, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, precious is the flow that